You're listening to Sunday sermons from Christ Pacific Church located in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. Let's join Peter Little as we look at generosity through the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6b through 8 and verses 28 through 31.
I'm Jim Thompson. I'll be reading today's scripture from the New Revised Standard Version. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8, and then 28 to 31. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or on your tablets or ready to follow along on the screen. Again, Isaiah 40, 6 to 8, and then 28 to 31. All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our Lord will stand forever. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will fade and be weary, but the young will be exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Hey, gyms are really busy in January. You ever notice that? A little less busy in February. Pretty empty in May. New Year's resolutions are often like really well-intentioned, but a little bit less well-executed. I can speak for myself that way anyway. All people are like grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely people are grass. They sprout up one moment and then wither the next. I don't know about you, but this is actually a relief to me to hear these words from Isaiah. Because if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, I know that my God faithfulness can be really robust one moment. And then the next moment can wither in the face of, you know, bad weather or something like that. We can be notoriously inconsistent. And I think that Isaiah is inviting us here to take a deep breath and maybe let out a bit of a sigh of relief, because all people are like this. What I think Isaiah is saying here is that when we are inconsistent, when we are like the grass of the field or the flowers of the field, we are not spiritual losers. We're humans. All people are like this. I can be reading the Bible. I can be preparing for a sermon and trying to understand what is it that God is saying and how ought I communicate this to the people of God. I can be doing that in one moment and then get a phone call from Krista, my wife, and just be impatient and not kind, all in the course of a couple of minutes. I can be worshiping my heart out, singing to the Lord Jesus, whom I love with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the next moment, I can be harboring unhelpful thoughts about other people. Is anybody else like this? I am inconsistent when it comes to my faith. And I think that Isaiah here is inviting us, man, just like a sigh of relief. You are not a spiritual loser when you discover that you are not a spiritual all-star. You are not a spiritual loser. You are a human being. And we are notoriously inconsistent. I don't think God is surprised by this. I don't think he's surprised by my inconstancy. Disappointed, probably. I mean, I don't think it's God's desire or hope that I would be so feeble with my faith, or that I would be so passionate one moment and then live my life the next moment as if God didn't exist. That's not his desire for me, but he's not surprised by this. All people are like grass. And God still chooses me. All people are like grass. And God still chooses you. Because God doesn't choose you based on your faithfulness. He doesn't choose you because you are so faithful. He chooses you. He chooses to passionately pursue you because you are His and you're valuable to Him. We are inconsistent, to say the least, and God still pursues us. As we start the new year, I imagine that a number of you are, you know, setting goals and aspirations for the year. And probably some of you are setting financial goals for the year. You're making new commitments about how to use and save and give the money that you have. Maybe some of your New Year's resolutions revolve around money. I'm going to speak about money today and also next week, so mark your calendars. And it's my regular practice. I have committed to speaking about money every January as long as I am in the pulpit preaching. So again, mark your calendars for next January. And I'm going to do this for at least three reasons, and I want to share those with you. Why am I talking about money, and why am I talking about money in January? The first reason is this. Money was Jesus' second favorite topic. Jesus' favorite thing to talk about was the kingdom of God. He talked about that more than anything else. But his second favorite topic was money. The reason that Jesus spoke so much about money is because Jesus knows the power of money. And he wants to equip us to not be mastered by money, but to be the masters of the money which God has given us. Right? He wants to equip us to live faithfully. This is important stuff for a flourishing life of a disciple. The second reason I'm talking about money in January is because it is one of your most common discussion topics, right? I mean, don't you talk about money quite a bit? Money's a big part of our lives. The world we live in is a world that in many ways revolves around money. And that's a really good reason, the big part that money has in our lives and in the world we live in, that's a really good reason to seek biblical insight and biblical wisdom about how to relate to money, about how to use and give and save and enjoy the money, the resources that God has given us, how to be faithful stewards of it. If we're talking about it all the time, we might as well be equipped to do it well. So the third reason I'm talking about money in January. Oh, look at that. It disappeared. Is there a third bullet point back there, Peter? That's weird. I thought that was there in the last service, but maybe it wasn't. The third reason that I'm talking about money in January is because it forces me to at least broach the topic once a year. Right, this can be talk about money. This can be a difficult conversation, a difficult discussion, even awkward, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a difficult conversation, especially if it's a conversation that we have regularly. So my goal in preaching about money today and every January is to equip us to be faithful stewards of the resources that God has given us. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm after. That's the goal today. I'm going to take the long way around to get there. I'm going to take the long route to get at money. So, all people are like grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are grass. These words from Isaiah 40 are surrounded by a bunch more words before and after, where the prophet is comforting us with words of assurance about God's faithfulness, even in the midst of our unfaithfulness. Right? We tend to be unfaithful, yet God is faithful. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are basically Isaiah chronicling the unfaithfulness of the people of God, the unfaithfulness of the people of Israel. Eventually, the fruit of Israel's unfaithfulness is their destruction and their exile into the land of their enemies. But here in Isaiah 40, here we begin to hear the notes of hope. Here the prophet begins to speak about deliverance from that destruction and about returning home from exile. And the prophet talks quite a bit about this mysterious figure whom he calls the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord. It's the servant of the Lord who will do the delivering. He will deliver us from destruction. He is the one who will bring us back home from exile. And this servant of the Lord is a prefiguration of the coming Messiah, Jesus. Verses 28 and 29 say this about the faithful Lord. Even in light of the people's faithlessness. Verses 28 and 29, the Lord is the everlasting God, right? In contrast to our faith, which tends to not be lasting. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary, though you and I may. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. So Isaiah paints this portrait of the living God as a faithful and persistent God in his love for us. He persistently and passionately pursues us with his love. And then Isaiah closes chapter 40 by giving us some tips, some advice. No, he encourages, he exhorts us with some ways in which we can be a little bit less like the flower of the field. Ways in which we can be less like the grass of the field, where we spring up robustly one day, but then the next day we wither. And he ends the chapter with these words. It's the vision that comes to mind for me is that in order for us to be less like grass of the field, we must become more like a cedar planted next to Lone Pine Creek. Krista and I were camping at Lone Pine Creek a couple of months ago. It's glorious, up by Mount Whitney. And there's always water in that creek. How can we become more like the cedars that are planted next to that creek, healthy and robust? Here's what the prophet says, verses 30 and 31. Those who wait for the Lord, or those who hope in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait for the Lord, those who put their hope in the Lord, they're going to soar like an eagle. They're going to soar like a paraglider. They're going to run like the Kenyan marathoner, Eliud Kipchoge. Do you know him? I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. We're going to soar like a paraglider. We're going to run like Eliud. And we're going to walk and not grow faint. Soar, run, and walk. Can you resonate? Can you relate to these seasons of faith where sometimes it feels like you're soaring with God? Sometimes it feels like you're running with God. Sometimes it feels like you're just putting one foot in front of the other, but you're still making progress. You're walking with the Lord. Let's talk a little bit about these three seasons of faith. So first of all, faith soaring. When we put our hope in the Lord, we soar with the Lord. When Krista and I lived in Vancouver, British Columbia, I took a group of friends, a group of folks from the church that we were a part of, up to the top of Mount Webb. And this is a picture from very near the top of Mount Webb. That's not Krista and me. That's another couple that was dating there, but now they're married and have many, many children. So this is a picture from the top of Mount Webb. I went up there with a group of friends. It was an 8 mile and hike with 5,000 feet of elevation gain. It was quite a slog. And what I saw at the top of Mount Webb was both disheartening and exhilarating. There was another guy who had also hiked to the top of Mount Webb. But he had hiked to the top of Mount Webb with a paragliding parachute wing in his backpack. So as we stood up there after hiking 8 miles and going up 5,000 feet, thinking about what was ahead of us, we had to get back. We watched this guy jump off the mountain. and paraglide to the bottom. It was heartbreaking. Because I knew that we had to walk down the mountain. And I thought to myself, why would anyone ever walk down a mountain when you could fly down a mountain? One of these days, I am going to learn how to do that. This is paragliding, by the way. He put out his parachute, jumped off. Paragliding is taking advantage of the uplifting effect of moving air over a wing, right? It's called the Bernoulli effect. It's what makes flight possible. It's hopefully what's going to get Jim and me to Dallas safely, right? The Bernoulli effect is that upward thrust of the air when air moves over a wing. And that's what made it possible for this guy to go on this glorious, thrilling ride on the wind. Instead of an 8-mile slog down the mountain. And you know what? It turned into a slog because we ended up getting lost. We had to bushwhack for quite a long time. And then where we came out at the bottom wasn't where our cars were. So I had to hitchhike a couple of miles down the road to get to our cars so I could start shuttling people back to where we started. Yeah, I'm going to be leading a hike next weekend if anyone would like to go. It will be an adventure, I promise you. Oh, man. But are these seasons of faith soaring, are they kind of like paragliding? Being propelled and lifted up by the effect of the wind as it moves over your outstretched wings of faith. You know, that man who paraglided off the top of Mount Webb, he didn't just magically begin paragliding. He had to jump off the edge of the mountain. As Pastor John Ortberg has keenly pointed out, and many of you have heard this and read his book by this title, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. If you want to paraglide down Mount Webb, you got to jump. You got to make that leap of faith. And what is that jump for us? You know, we're not jumping off mountains here. I'm not suggesting that we should all go paragliding, although if any of you know how to do that and would like to teach me, please let me know. We're obviously not jumping off mountains. So what is it that we are trying to do? Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up with wings like eagles. Those who hope in the Lord. Those who hope in the Lord. The leap of faith that you and I are invited to take is a leap of hope. To place our hope in the Lord. Will you choose to place your hopes in the Lord this year? There are so many options to choose from when it comes to where we will place our hope. We can put our hope in our own ingenuity. We can place our hope in our educational pursuits. We can put our hope in the health of our bodies, the success of our children, or the balance of our bank accounts, or the upward trajectory of our retirement portfolios, the stability of our families. And, you know, all those things are good things. I mean, those are great things to even pray for. But all of these things are notoriously bad hope anchors. They are notoriously poor hope anchors. They are consistent in their inconsistency, consistently letting us down if we put our hope in them. Those who hope in the Lord will faith soar. They'll also run and not grow weary. You know, not every season of faith is like soaring. It's not always as magnificent as paragliding. Sometimes things are a bit more grounded and we find ourselves running with the Lord. But you know what? Running is pretty sweet too. Especially if you can run and not grow weary. Especially if you can run like this guy. Do you know him? Eliud Kipchoge. He was the first human being to run 26.2 miles in less than 2 hours. That's 4 minutes and 34 seconds for every mile, 26 miles in a row. Have you ever run a 4-minute and 34-second mile? One? Me neither. Can you imagine running 26 of them in a row? Those who hope in the Lord will faith run. Will run in faith without getting tired. And you know what? That's pretty awesome. Though it's not quite the same as soaring. There's a third season that Isaiah identifies. And the third season might look a little bit more like this. Can you read that? So faith walking can be a little bit more like, hey, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other, trying not to fall down. And that's something to celebrate. Because the ability to put one foot in front of the other, even with the assistance of a walker or a cane, is still movement. It's still getting somewhere. The ability to walk without fainting, without falling over, is still a gift from God. Some seasons of faith are like faith soaring. Some seasons are like faith running. And some seasons feel more like nursing home style walking, where we're just putting one foot in front of the other and grateful that we're not falling over. Now, what does all of this have to do with money? Remember, I told you I was going to talk about money today. What does this have to do with money? And I think everything. This has everything to do with money, to do with what our relationship with money looks like and how to lead a flourishing life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, how to have a healthy relationship with the resources and gifts that God has given us. You see, Jesus taught so much and so often about money because he knew the seductive power of money. He knew that money so easily seduces our hopes. Money gets us to put our hope in it. And when it does, when our hopes are in money, a couple of things happen. Our selfishness goes through the roof. And you know what else goes through the roof? Our anxiety. Because money is a notoriously poor hope anchor. It's inconsistent. It is not worthy of being the object of our hopes. Many of you are familiar with Roger Waters. He was the bassist and kind of the primary lyricist for what group? I thought you guys would be familiar with that. That's good. I'm not quite that old, but I did grow up on Pink Floyd. I didn't mean that. That didn't come out right. I love Pink Floyd, and I grew up on that stuff. But Roger Waters, he wrote this song, Money, you know, money. And he misquotes scripture in it. He says this, money, so they say, is the root of all evil today. Money, so they say, is the root of all evil today. So he's close, but he doesn't get it right. He misquotes it. Money is not the root of all evil. What he's trying to quote, what he's getting at, is what the Apostle Paul wrote to his friend Timothy in our New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is not the problem. It's the love of money that's the problem. Money is a gift from God. Money is not good or bad, actually. It's just there. It's just a thing. It's the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. And it is also the root of all kinds of disappointment. Because when we place our hope in money, we are bound to become disappointed. Just as we set New Year's resolutions and we set goals for the year, and maybe that has to do with going to the gym or how you spend your money or whatever. Whatever goals that you are perhaps identifying for the new year, if you place your hope in your ability to fulfill those goals or to meet those goals, you are bound at one point or another to become disappointed because people are like grass. They are like the flowers of the field. They sprout up vigorously in January, but so often have a tendency to wither in February, March, and April. But Isaiah is telling us here that it's not our faithfulness that we ought to be hoping in. It's not our ingenuity that we ought to be hoping in. It's certainly not our bank accounts that we ought to be placing our hope in. But rather, it's the living God. For the living God is the everlasting God. He is the one whose love is everlasting, whose love is faithful, whose persistent and passionate pursuit of us never fails. When we hope in the everlasting God who does not grow faint or weary, we are bound to be lifted up so that we might faith soar. We are bound to have the legs of Eliud Kipchoge and to run in faith with the Lord. And we are bound to continue to walk with the Lord, though sometimes simply putting one foot in front of the other. But we are not falling. We are not fainting. So let me close with this. As you maybe identify goals for yourself or your family this year, as you consider even how to save or give or spend the resources that God has entrusted to you, as you do this, as you evaluate your relationship with money, may I invite you to prayerfully consider the words of the prophet Isaiah. Even 20-year-olds will faint and be weary. And teenagers will fall exhausted. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friends, this is the good news of a faithful and everlasting God who is worthy of being the object of our faith, the object of our hope, and the object of our love. May it be so. Let's pray. Gracious and living and faithful God, thank you for these words from your prophet Isaiah. Words that you gave him, that you gave courage to him to speak into difficult times. Thank you for these words and how they speak into our lives. Would you, God, equip us to be flourishing disciples of Jesus? First of all, by opening our ears to hear your word. And then opening our hearts and minds to ingest and digest your words, that they might become part of us, that we might more faithfully move into 2020, trusting you, hoping in you, and loving you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Christ Pacific Church, visit our website at www.cpchb.org and follow us on social media at Christ Pacific Church.